This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair. Thank you for joining us night number 14 of Ramadan 2020. And subhanAllah, as we said in the previous evening, that if you look at the moon, and if it's towards a full moon, then you know you're coming towards the middle of the month. And if you were to look outside, you'd see that the moon, subhanAllah, is full, which means we are reaching the middle of Ramadan. And before we know it, it would be the last 10 nights and then this year's Ramadan will be over. So may Allah grant us all the blessings of what remains of this month and to accept what we've done thus far. Ameen. Walhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, we also completed section number 3 of Surah Yasin. We will begin section 4 this evening. A quick recap as to section 1, 2 and 3. So section 1 was an introduction and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sets the theme or the tone of the surah by mentioning that He has sent a perfect message. He has sent a perfect messenger to warn and to guide a people who did not have a messenger before. And then there are those, unfortunately, the majority of them and the majority of mankind, in fact, they see the signs, but they turn away deliberately. And they are like that person who is locked over in a cage. He's blocked from the front, the back and on top. And then there are those who are following, and these are the people that follow the guidance and that they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the ones that respond to the signs of Allah. And then Allah mentions that He will resurrect the dead and that everyone will be accountable for what they have earned in this life. Then the second section was the people of the town who received 3 anbiya. They rejected the message. Then one of their own fellow comrades came and gave a beautiful speech to them, and he explained to them how silly it is to worship anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when Allah Himself controls everything and to Him is your return. So why would you worship anyone besides Him? And he pleads with him, and in response they kill him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows a snippet of him being presented with Jannah and how he is being rewarded for his sacrifice. And then Allah punishes the people of the town by sending upon them a scream that completely ends them and causes them to become extinct. And this town, to this day, we don't know who these people were, where this town is, and it's a punishment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises for those who reject His ayat and they transgress the limits. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the third section, He gave 3 ayat, 3 signs that are all around us that we should take note of. The first one being the earth and how it is revived, the seed that appears to be dead, yet it comes alive with, you know, plants and trees and fruits, and so too the resurrection will follow that. Then of course the ayah of the sun and the moon and the day and the night, how everything is on a predetermined course and everything will come to its natural conclusion, that is similar to our life and how it ticks away each day, each moment, how quickly time goes. And then of course the last ayah was that of the ship sailing through the sea and how vulnerable we are if we were to sink, or if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would to take away His blessings from us, how vulnerable we would feel. And subhanAllah, for us right now, we feel that vulnerability. We don't know, will we have a job tomorrow? Will we get sick tomorrow? Will our loved ones, are they safe? Everything we realize, we are completely, completely in the hands and in the care of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and none can save us besides Him. And there is no protection from Him except towards Him. And so this default feeling of security, it's a false sense of security. Rather, we should put our faith in the one thing that does not change. We remember we said one of the ways of why Allah said subhanallah is that He does not change, that He's perfect, that no matter how difficult life gets or how good life gets, Allah is the one consistent in your life that you can always hold on to. It will always keep you safe. That like that ship in the ocean, the only thing that saves it from falling down is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And similarly, as we are in life, the storms of life, the only thing that brings you through it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is to hold on to Him. Allah also mentioned towards the end, after saying, I've presented you with these ayat, what I have given you and blessed you, will you not then feed the hungry person and the disbeliever? Interestingly, another name, another word for kufr, another meaning of kufr. So yes, kufr means to disbelieve. It also means to be ungrateful. And so the kafir is the one who is also ungrateful to the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah is showing you, I've given you so much, so many blessings that you cannot enumerate how many ayat. Allah says, how many ayat and how many blessings are sent to us that we are, you know, heedless about it. And so Allah mentions the ungratefulness of the people, and the height of the ungratefulness is they say, why should we feed people that Allah Himself, if He so wished, He would have fed Himself, Allah would have fed. And so now this brings into the fourth section. The fourth section is going to be about the Akhirah. So throughout these sections, Allah speaks about that there is a consequence, that there is a, that there's a conclusion. You're on a path and this will lead to an inevitable ending. And there is going to be either a punishment and a reward. And so in the next section from verses 48 to 68, the next 20 ayat or so, Allah will speak about the afterlife and the events of the Akhirah. So we begin, A'udhu Billahi Shaitan Rajeem. وَيَكُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. They say, and this is, and this follows on from the previous verse. Remember, in the previous verse, they said, why should we feed people that if Allah wanted them, these people that are hungry, the people that are begging for food, if Allah wanted to, He could feed them. So why are you coming to me? So this level of arrogance, this level of you know, even making a mockery of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they continue and they say, وَيَكُولُونَ. They also say, مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. When is this promise going to come if you are truthful? This could be they're saying to the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they could be saying to the believers, they're even saying to Allah Himself. So when is this promise, either the promise of the punishment? So you're promising us, if we continue like this, we'll be punished. So bring this punishment, when is it going to come? Or even this qiyamah, you're talking about this life after death, our bones will be brought together. When is this event coming? So this isn't really a question, rather it is a challenge. And it is as if though they are calling upon, they're almost daring Allah, we dare you to bring about this punishment. And we find this in many, many of the nations that were destroyed. One of the red lines they crossed. So of the red lines that you cross is you humiliate and you insult the Anbiya, then you harm the believers, you even kill the believers, and then you of course invoke the punishment upon you. Say, bring it. I want Allah to bring it. And when you say that, that is when you cross the line, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah shows, He gives a respite and He gives allowances. But eventually there is a limit, and when you cross that limit, then the punishment comes down. So Allah continues, مَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً تَأْخُذُهُمْ وَهُمْ يَحِسِّمُونَ. They do not wait except for one loud scream or a blast that will seize them. And while they are, يَحِسِّمُونَ, while they are disputing. The sayha is, as I said, this loud scream that will completely destroy them. This is the same thing which destroyed the people of the town, destroyed the people of Ad, it destroyed the people of Madian. So Allah says, it's very simple. The fact that He mentions one scream, meaning it is very simple for me to bring about it. There's no, nothing elaborate. There's no, it doesn't require armies and Allah needs to get ready to destroy them. If Allah so chose, He could instantly wipe them out. And Allah says, they are calling for this thing, their own destruction. The thing that you are calling out to, it's just an instant a calamity that can befall you, and then completely they would be destroyed. While they're even arguing, while they're even disputing with the Nabi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can send this calamity upon them. And in fact, one of the sayha, the point here is that it is sudden. And one of the blessings Allah gives a believer, a person, is Allah prepares him for his death. So you go through a sickness. That sickness lasts for maybe a few months. In that time, you can prepare, you get your affairs in order, and you get yourself in order. This is a great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we prepare ourselves for death, because many of us, we are not ready to die in our current state. And so of the punishments Allah gives to many nations, Allah says He takes them with an adab very quickly. When the adab comes, it's instantly, it's just a few moments and they're gone. And when that happens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will mention that they have no chance to repent or to sort their affairs out. It's also beautiful here. Allah says, while they are disputing, meaning while they're arguing and screaming and shouting above that of the Anbiya and arguing with Allah, Allah will silence them with a scream. So Allah will make His sound louder than them, and they will completely be silent, never to speak again. And then Allah subhanahu says, when this adab comes down to them, وَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ تَوْسِيَةً وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. And they will not be able to give a tawsiyah, any instructions, nor to their family or to their people can they return. So Allah says, when this calamity hits them, it will be so quick and so instant that they will not be able to give a tawsiyah. A tawsiyah is like a will, a wasiyah is a will. So any final words, any small instruction, you know, not even a long will, just something simple. You know, if you knew, subhanAllah, Allah protect us, if we knew that our last moment was to come, what would we do if this was our last evening? We would make sure all our you know, financial affairs are in order. We'll make our last, any things we owe to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we'd prepare ourselves. And It's as I mentioned, it's a blessing that you get to get your affairs in order before you die. So Allah says, when the punishment comes, there is no opportunity to have a last and final word, no opportunity to make a will or anything like that, and they cannot return back to their family. Meaning, it could be that that's it, they're over, they're dead. There's no coming back from that, and also that all relationships between them and their family is cut off. they've become basically extinct. The tafsir also mentions that nor to the people can they return. This believer, when he is taken from this world, his punishment, all of his punishments, is that he's punished in isolation. He is punished alone. Whereas the believer, alhamdulillah, we know what is beautiful when the person passes away. One of the things that happens when he dies, he meets his relatives who are good and they are waiting for him on the other side. And so he is rewarded together. Being alone, so one of the things of a punishment is isolation. And one of the rewards is that you are rewarded in company. That's a wonderful thing to think about. And when you cross over to the next life, you cross over to meet those people that you love and you'll be with them. Allah grant us all to be together. Ameen. And subhanAllah, Allah says in another ayah that when a person is taken, and this is even a good person or a bad person, but especially a bad person, they will say, "My Lord, if only you were to give me a chance, لَأَصَّدَّقَ وَأَكُنْ مِنَ الصَّالِكِينَ. If I can only go back just for a small moment, 5 minutes, Ya Allah, send me back for a short time, I want to give charity." The one thing that hadith says that extinguishes the anger of Allah is sadaqah. So, subhanAllah, we think, if I can just make that one EFT, Ya Allah, give me, Malikul Maut, just give me 5 seconds. I'm just going to hit the EFT button, and then, alhamdulillah, it will be so much better for me. This is one of the great regrets of people when you're in your cupboard and you realize in your cupboard how much I have in the bank, how much I have in the cupboard. I never got to use it or benefit it. What benefit was it there for me that I died with this fortune and now it just gets transferred to someone else? Sadaqah, in fact, just it's beautiful because we're in the month of Ramadan and we at a time when there's a financial need and many people are in difficult times, but I'll make it easy. Sadaqah comes from the word sidq, to be truthful. And it is because you believe, you are truthful to your iman, that you believe what I put in the hands of a poor person, or I feed a poor person, this thing will be repaid back to me by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with interest. You know, only the only one that pays interest is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is just a loan that I'm giving, and Allah is going to repay it either in this dunya, in this life, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to repay me for something even better. In the previous section 3, Allah spoke about these blessings that we give is a rahmah wa mata'an ila hain. It is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And very interestingly, the ayah of the people spending, they said, "Why do you not spend so that Allah may show mercy upon you?" So the mercy is also linked to the dunya. The more we give, Allah shows us mercy, not just in the akhirah. It doesn't mean that you only get rewarded in the akhirah. Allah will give you of His mercies in the dunya. You know, your business inshallah will go better. Your family will have success. So the sadaqah is this thing that puts barakah in your life. It increases you in goodness. And so that is one of the great regrets of people, that when they die, that they did not give more charity. We see, subhanAllah, this time, I've never seen so many organizations in need like we see in the current situation. And it is a test, as we said, for some of patience and for those who have to share and to assist one another. May Allah make it easy for all of us. And may Allah grant us to be people that give, knowing that Allah will return what we gave with more. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when He takes them, it will be a sudden blowing and or a sudden scream, and they will be silent and they will be dead and they will never come back, and they will not have an opportunity to make any last words or return to their family. Then Allah says, وَنُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ, and the horn will be blown, the trumpet will be sounded, فَإِذَا هُمْ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَنْسِلُونَ, and all at once, from their graves to their Lord, they will, ينسلون, they will hasten, they will rush towards their Lord. We know from the ayat in the Quran, many places in the Quran, and from the hadith of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Qiyamah will come about in stages, basically. The end of the world and the resurrection and the day of Qiyamah happens in stages. So there are many minor signs that lead up to the event of Qiyamah. No one knows when Qiyamah is except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many, subhanAllah, we know that many of the minor signs have already occurred. And some even have said, if you look at, the plagues and the calamities that we're seeing currently, and certainly, it's not a sign of the minor signs of Qiyamah, but it is something for us to think about. As we get closer to the end of times, these things would increase and there will be more, hardship as we get closer to it. Then, of course, the minor signs will give way to the 10 major signs, Dajjal being the first of them. And then, interestingly, the sun rising from the west being the last of them, according to one understanding of the hadith. As we mentioned yesterday, or the day before about the hadith of the sun rising, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not give permission to the sun to rise again. And so it will come from from where it's set, meaning it will come back from the west, and this will be the final major sign of Qiyamah. And then, of course, the trumpet will be blown. And the trumpet will be blown twice. The angel who will blow the trumpet, we know his name in a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ names him, he is Israfil, Israfil alayhi salam. So, this angel Israfil, his job is to blow the trumpet, nothing else. And the Prophet ﷺ mentions that his lips are already on the horn. His Qiyamah is so close that his lips are on the horn. Now this angel doesn't know when exactly he's blowing the trumpet, and so he is waiting for an instruction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to blow the trumpet. And so the hadith says he is looking towards the throne of Allah, and he does not blink out of fear that he would miss the command. And so he is standing, staring at Allah, and his eyes have become like stars, like glass, waiting for that moment. And so we know that there will be a first blowing when Israfil blows in the trumpet, and subhanAllah, this will only occur, as we said, at the end, after the major signs of Qiyamah have occurred. And this, subhanAllah, is a very traumatic experience, the blowing of the trumpet, which will cause all of creation to die, and all of even the angels, even the jinn, everyone of creation will saiq, as the Quran mentions, that they will fall over, they will collapse, and they will die. This, as a mercy to the believers, no believing person will be alive when this happens. There's one of the minor signs of Qiyamah is that a wind will come and it will take away easily, smoothly, the believers who are alive. And who is remaining on the day of Qiyamah, the remaining to experience the blowing of the trumpet, will be the worst of people. They will have no goodness in them. And that is when Allah's name is no longer mentioned, there are no more salahs being made, there is no more honesty and goodness in them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause Israfil to blow the trumpet, and all of creation will basically be completely undone. And then Israfil will be resurrected, and he will blow the trumpet again. And so this will be the second blowing. There are two blowings, and this will be the blowing of resurrection. And so the ayah 51, وَنُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ فَإِذَا هُمْ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ إِلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَنْسِلُونَ, that when the trumpet is blown, and immediately their bodies will, or they will exit their graves. This is the second blowing, the blowing of resurrection. Also the word فَإِذَا هُمْ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ, أَجْدَاثِ, we usually know a grave to be called a qabr, you know, a maqbara, or a place of burial. Ajdath is a grave that has been long time forgotten. You can't even see it as a grave anymore. So Allah doesn't use the word qabr, he says an ajdath, to indicate that it has been a long time since they died. They've been in the qabr for ages, and there's no indication of them. Also it mentions these towns that have been destroyed. Many of them, the remnants of them is gone. No one even misses them. There's no dua being made for them. And so from these forgotten, long lost graves, إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَنْسِلُونَ, they will be driven out of their qabr, and they would be going, rushing towards their Rabb. They will come to their Rabb. Remember yesterday we said in the dua of the travel, وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَنْقَلِبُونَ, that ultimately our final destination is to Allah. This is where all of us will end up. May Allah protect us. All of us will be thrown out of our graves like this, and we will be rushed. The angels will push us like cattle almost towards the Rabb, to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah protect us. And then on that day, قَالُوا يَا وَيْلَنَا, they will say, woe to us. Wail, you find in the Quran this word wail is being mentioned many times. Wail is the word of distress. It is, you say this when you are in expression of remorse and grief. So they will say, qalu, they will say, oh, woe to us, man ba'athana min marqadina, who has woken us up, who has raised us up from marqadina. Marqad is a place where you sleep, a place where you relax. So who has taken us out of our place of relaxation? هذا ما وعد الرحمن وصدق المرسلون. This is what the Ar-Rahman, the Most Merciful, promised. وصدق المرسلون, and the messengers they had spoken the truth. Now, who is saying this? The one tafsir is that the believers are saying this. قَالُوا يَا وَيْلَنَا, woe to us, who has resurrected us from our place of sleeping. And it's a nice thought then, therefore, that the believer, he is in his qabr, and he is resting, he is relaxed, he is happy in his qabr. Even though we think, how, ya Allah, am I putting myself in a grave, I'm going to be happy? We know that this, inshallah, is a garden from the gardens of Jannah. May Allah grant every single one of the believers, our families, our grandparents and parents who have passed away, friends, let Allah grant that the grave be a place of relaxation and reward and happiness. Ameen. It is also the more common tafsir is actually the disbelievers that say this. The same people who were destroyed, they will say, who has raised us up from our marqad? Why are they calling their grave a marqad when we know that the grave is a place of punishment? They will be punished in their graves. Very scary, because when they exit their qabr, they will see the day of Qiyamah. And the horrors of Qiyamah will make the punishment of the grave feel like, you know, like child's play. They would wish to go back to the grave and be tormented in the grave rather than what they see on the day of Qiyamah. Allah protect us. And remember, that is Qiyamah. That is not Jahannam. Jahannam is even worse than Qiyamah. May Allah protect us. There's also another tafsir that says, when the first trumpet is blown, so anyone who is in the grave now, he's being rewarded or he's being punished. And then when the trumpet is blown, everything comes to an end. Even the punishment, even the reward of everyone, it's over. There is nothing. There is no existence. And then when the second trumpet is blown, they would be resurrected. And so this period between the first and the second blowing, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, it's a period of 40. And the Sahaba asked 40 days, 40 years. And the Nabi Sallallahu did not say how long. So there is a period between the first and the second blowing. And Allah A'lam, Allah knows best what happens in between that. For some, it might be that their punishment is stopped. And therefore, the qabr is actually a place of relief in that period. هَذَا مَا وَعَدَ الرَّحْمَنِ Someone is going to say, this is what Ar-Rahman had promised, meaning this day and this what the events of Qiyamah now has come to pass. Wasadaq al-Mursalun, and the believers, all those Anbiya that came from Nabi Adam until Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, all those Anbiya that have pleaded with the people, everything they said is the truth. There's an interesting point in this ayah, ayah number 52, there's an interesting tajweed comment. So if you look at the ayah, you'll find we at the end of the word marqadina, there's a seen there. This is called a sakt. This is something, a sakata. This is where you need to stop. It's a unique tajweed rule where one stops at the middle of the ayah and then you breathe, but you continue to say with the same breath. Right? You stop your breath and then you still recite on. So it's sort of a short pause. And there are only four of these saktas in the whole Quran. And why is it there? It is to indicate that perhaps the one who says at the beginning, قَالُوا يَا وَيْلَنَا, those who speak then and said, who woke us up from our place of rest, the one who answers them is someone different. So it could be that those who answer, the people will say, so it's, if you imagine, we are being resurrected, we're coming out of our graves and we say, Ya Allah, who brought us to this place? And we see the horrors and we said, who took us out of our graves? And then those who respond will be the angels. The angels will say, this is what Allah had promised you, and the Anbiya that came to you were telling the truth. Everything that you heard is the truth. And so the realization would hit you then. The believer and the disbeliever, subhanAllah, all of us will be in a state of shock. May Allah protect us from the horrors of that day. In our last ayah for this evening, Allah says, the second last ayah, إِن كَانَتْ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ جَمِيعٌ لَدَيْنَا مُحْدَرُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is only but a single blowing or blast, and all of a sudden at once they are brought and presented before us. This ayah has appeared, or the words of this ayah has appeared multiple times in the surah. So this is one of the ways in which Allah makes the surah and the Quran easily to be remembered. He uses the same words in the surah. So Allah said in verse number 29 and 49 and 53, the verse illa sayhatan wahida, in kanat illa sayhatan wahidata, Allah repeats this again three times, that it is only one simple, easy blowing sound, and they would be resurrected, and it will also be that they would die. In verse number 49, they said, مَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا صَيْحَةٌ وَاحِدَةً. Allah said, they are only waiting for the sayha to be blown. That waiting is no longer there, meaning that this happens now. The events of Qiyamah is happening. There's no longer waiting. So in the dunya, they are just waiting for the trumpet to be blown. And then the punishment or Qiyamah would occur. Now on Qiyamah, now that the blowing has done, the waiting is over. Now the Jannah, the Jahannam, everything is happening, and it's happening very quickly. فَإِذَا هُمْ جَمِيعٌ لَدَيْنَا مُحْدَرُونَ. This is the second time in the surah Allah also mentions this. In ayah number 32, Allah also says, وَإِن كُنْتُ لَمَّا جَمِيعٌ لَدَيْنَا مُحْدَرُونَ. All of them will be presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will all be presented and standing. And when Allah repeats things, there's a reason for it. When Allah repeats that they will all be present, it shows that every single human being, you and me, my parents, your parents, our loved ones, our children, the rich, the poor, the king, the slave, every single person, without exception, will be standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one can escape it. No one can delay it. No one can run away from it. It is a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how quickly He says, with one sound, every single human being, and also the jinn as well, they will all be presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make it easy for us. Then, the last ayah for this evening, فَالْيَوْمَ لَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا وَلَا تُجْزَوْنَ إِلَّا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah says, so today, this could be an announcement that is being made to them, either by Allah Himself or the angels. It is sort of now, so you imagine the scene, the all of humanity is out of their graves and they are standing scared, being pushed, and yansilun, they're being pushed in a certain direction towards Allah. And there'll be a moment where everyone will stand, and Qiyamah, we can have all series on Qiyamah. There'll be a moment of panic. There'll be a moment of crying, of screaming, of running around, of complete hysteria. And then there'll be a moment of lining up and everyone is silent, looking down. No one is saying a single word. And everyone is just thinking himself, where am I going? Waiting for the judgment, standing before Allah. May Allah protect us. And as we stand in Salah, as we stand, you know, during this evenings of Ramadan, as we fasting, we ask Allah to prepare us for that day, that everything that we do for His sake, that every charity we give is to make us ready for that moment. And so it will be said to us, either by Allah or the angels, فَالْيَوْمَ لَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا. So today, no one will be wronged. We don't have to worry. Allah is not going to shortchange anyone. No one will be punished unjustly. There will be no injustice done today. وَلَا تُجْزَوْنَ, and you will not be rewarded إِلَّا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. You will only be given what you deserve. Now this is also, this is something which is, gives you, if you're a good person, it makes you feel happy. Allah is not going to wrong you. He's only going to give you what you did. If you're a good person, then you will find goodness on the day of Qiyamah. And if you're a bad person and you know that you had lived a life that is not good, you will only get what you put in this life. And so you'll only be rewarded for your actions. Your deeds will be your judge on the day of Qiyamah. And so we need to ask ourselves that if this is the last Ramadan, if this is the last, with a pandemic around us, anything can happen, subhanAllah. If this is the ending of our days, if our mustaqar has come to an end, are we ready to be judged? Are we ready to arrive on that day? And if the answer is not, then alhamdulillah, Allah has given us these blessed nights and days of Ramadan. We still have life in us. Every moment is an opportunity for istighfar and tawbah. Every moment is a return to Allah. May Allah grant that our life is in His service. May we love Him in this world, so that when we meet Him in the Akhirah, we meet Him in a state of love from Him and to us. And may Allah grant all of us, you and me, all of us and all our families, a high place in Jannah. Amin. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.